hear all the time from people all across the country who are evangelicals is, look, John McCain wasn't my first choice, John McCain wasn't my second choice, but I'll take a third-rate fireman over a first-class arsonist, and they see Barack Obama as a first-class arsonist for the things they believe in.
That's Dr. Richard Land during a recent interview on Fox News talking about the two candidates and how evangelicals are finally coming to, of, well, we can't call it one mind, but a mind on these candidates. Dr. James Dobson spoke out early when it came to the presidential candidates, very uncomfortable with the candidacy of John McCain. He's thinking that through one more time, and many evangelicals are doing so with him. If the election were held today, I just want to get your mind on this. No trick questions here. If the election were held today, how would you be voting for president? It's audio open lines, issues, etc. Our toll-free number, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 1-877-623-MY-IE. You can email us with questions or comments here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. We're coming to you live this Wednesday, the 23rd of July. We'll be hearing a Fox News interview with Dr. Richard Land on evangelicals and John McCain. Also an NPR story on the presidential candidates and abortion. Now, that raises a question. It goes along with a story we might have time to get to. It's a CNN roundtable discussion on the possible vice presidential picks of both of these men, Senator McCain, Senator Obama. Everyone recognizes the presidential race, the general race proper, is in many ways a rush to the middle. If this is the case, then what if John McCain were to choose a pro-choice running mate? What if Senator Obama were to choose a pro-life running mate? Trying to balance out the ticket a little bit. I want to hear from you. It's audio open lines, issues, etc. 1-877-623-MY-IE or talkback@issuesetc.org. That's our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Let's listen to this Fox News interview with Dr. Richard Land on evangelicals and John McCain.
John McCain could get a crucial boost from one influential conservative Christian leader. Dr. James Dobson says he might reverse his position and endorse McCain. Could this prompt other evangelical leaders to follow suit? And why is Dobson now reconsidering?
Well, let's ask Dr. Richard Land, president of the Southern Baptist Convention's Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. He joins us from Charlotte, North Carolina this morning. Good morning, Dr. Land.
Good morning.
Let's get this out of the way right from the top. I know you will not endorse any particular candidate, correct?
That's right. As a matter of policy, I just don't endorse candidates.
But you would tend to agree, no doubt, with John McCain's stance, at least when it comes to being pro-life. I want to ask you about Dr. Dobson, because he came out originally and said, you know what, I just really can't support John McCain. And now on his radio show yesterday, he's saying, well,
maybe
I'm going to do this. What will the influence be to the layperson?
Well, I think it'll have more impact with lay people than it will with anybody else, because Dr. Dobson has a huge following. People trust him. They listen to him. He's got multi-million radio audience, and he really comes into their homes, and he's giving them advice about their families. And so it will have a big impact if he chooses to endorse Senator McCain.
And one of the things, Dr. Land, that Dobson said was essentially that John McCain, the lesser of two evils. He simply does not like Barack Obama's stance on abortion. He's pro-abortion. Is that your feeling as well?
Well, I think that Senator Obama is probably the most radically pro-abortion candidate to ever be nominated by a major party. He came out and voted against the Born Alive Protection Act in Illinois, which is an act that says that if a baby manages to survive its abortion, the doctor has to try to save it instead of allowing it to die of neglect or even killing it.
And Senator Obama voted against it.
He voted against that bill. That's about as radically pro-abortion as you can get. And I think that probably Dr. Dobson is coming to the conclusion, in sort of nicer terms, what I hear all the time from people all across the country who are evangelicals is, look, John McCain wasn't my first choice, John McCain wasn't my second choice, but I'll take a third-rate fireman over a first-class arsonist, and they see Barack Obama as a first-class arsonist for the things they believe in.
I want to ask you real quickly, Dr. Land, before you have to go, about the VP pick for John McCain, because so much has been made in the past, the VP pick is just an afterthought. But in this case, it's important to at least evangelicals, right?
Oh, I think it's critically important, and I think it's one reason why Dr. Dobson said that he might endorse John McCain, and he was perhaps leaning towards it because he wants to wait and see what that vice presidential pick is, because if he picks a pro-life vice presidential running mate, that will be an enormous boost. If he picks a pro-choice running mate, it will deflate any momentum he's managed to build among evangelicals.
Mm-hmm. All right. Dr. Richard Land, we appreciate you spending a little time with us this morning from North Carolina. Thank you, sir.
Enjoy it always. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. That's an interview with Dr. Richard Land on Fox News. So I want to know, just taking the pulse of the listeners this afternoon, who would you vote for if the election were held today? Does the VP pick for either candidate make much difference to you? Could it swing you one way or the other? They're entertaining the question there of whether or not major leaders in evangelicalism would endorse John McCain if you chose someone who is pro-life. You know, I can think of someone who's pro-life, or at least recently pro-life, but also has another, maybe an albatross around his neck, and he's a likely candidate for the VP pick for McCain. The Mormon candidate? What if he chose a Mormon? What if he actually chose Mitt Romney to be his vice presidential candidate? 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or email us here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org. How important is the vice presidential pick to you? What if Mitt Romney, a Mormon, is Senator John McCain's vice presidential pick? What if Senator McCain chose someone who's pro-choice? Would it turn you completely away? What if Senator Obama, trying to balance out the ticket on that issue, chose someone who was pro-life? 1-877-623-MYIE or talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Tom in Texas emails us. He says, actually, it wouldn't surprise me if Barack Obama would select a pro-life running mate. And it wouldn't surprise me if John McCain selects a pro-choice vice presidential candidate or a non-Christian, that is Mormon, running mate. Elections in the United States are sadly based on expediency rather than principle, or perhaps the principle that people espouse in our time is toleration and compromise. Blow whichever way the wind blows, and then you have a better chance of being elected. What do you think? Tom in Texas says, it's a real possibility that either of these men, on the issue of abortion, could choose a vice presidential running mate who differs with them on the issue. Barack Obama, a pro-life veep. John McCain, a pro-choice veep. You know, if you want the broadest possible appeal, if I'm Barack Obama, I'm thinking to myself, I've got a pretty good appeal with my base right now, and I've got a pretty strong backing from my party. I can only add to it, and no one who plans to vote for me in the party or in the base is likely to vote for John McCain for a number of reasons. Could it hurt to have a pro-life Democrat as a vice presidential? There are a few of them out there. A pro-life Democrat as a vice presidential running mate? I could see it happening. It might not be extremely likely, but I think it's possible. Would it make a difference for you? Are you one of those people? We often, when we talk about these issues, especially abortion in American politics, we'll hear from listeners who will say, look, I can't be a one-issue voter. I've got to balance economy, war, gas prices, foreign policy against important issues like abortion. I think that abortion is actually the subtext of the entire presidential election. It's the, even when we're not talking about it, we're trying not to talk about it. When we talk about judicial picks, direction of the Supreme Court, we're talking about abortion. Let's be honest. Here's Charlie in St. Louis. Charlie, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Todd. Yeah, first of all, I'd like you to name me any pro-life Democrat that's a possibility for vice president. I know of none.
You know of none?
There are no prominent pro-life Democrats on the national scene. Zero. Bob Casey Jr., the senator from Pennsylvania, supposedly is pro-life, but he doesn't have the standing to be the vice presidential nominee.
What about Senator Sam Nunn from Georgia? I seem to think he might be pro-life.
Yeah, but I don't. I think he's,
former senator.
He's past his expiration date. You know, I don't see him as a likely candidate. I think
a lot of people believe that Dick Cheney had. A lot of people believe that Dick Cheney had passed his expiration date, but he actually made a vice presidential running mate for two consecutive terms.
Well, he just seemed older than he was. But Sam Nunn, I think, is actually older than John McCain. But as far as the Republican side, if McCain were to pick someone, let's say, like Rudy Giuliani, I would, for the first time in my life, not vote for the Republican candidate. And I've been voting since 1972.
So it really would make a difference if abortion were the issue upon which John McCain decided to move toward the middle with a V pick. It really would make a difference for you.
It would be a deal breaker for me, and I think a lot of social conservatives. I'm not a single issue voter, but that is sort of my litmus test. I have never voted for a pro-abortion candidate. I would vote for Mitt Romney if he were on the ticket, because even though he's got something of a checkered past on pro-life issues, I think he genuinely has come around.
All right. Thank you, Charlie. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-MYIE or talk back at issuesetc.org. Would the vice presidential pick make a difference for you if the election were held today? How would you vote? We'll be right back with more Audio Open Lines.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Christians, can they reject six literal days?
Answers with Ken Ham, the visionary of the new Creation Museum near Cincinnati, Ohio.
You know, there are many Christians who have decided to reject the Bible's teaching that God created in 6 days. Now, if they're truly born again, not accepting six literal days of creation, that won't keep them out of heaven. But they need to understand the devastating effect this belief has on biblical authority. You see, if you take Genesis chapter 1 as written, there's no doubt the Bible clearly teaches God created in 6 days. The main reason so many Christians don't accept this is because they think they have to accept the secular teaching of millions of years for the age of the earth. And you know, sadly, these compromising Christians reinterpret Genesis to allow for millions of years. And those around them, including their children, can observe this compromise. You see, these kinds of Christians might teach that you have to accept the words as written in the Bible about the resurrection, but that you don't have to accept the words as written in Genesis. And ultimately, this can lead some people to say they don't have to accept any of the Bible's words. Such compromise is destructive.
What does the Bible say about dinosaurs? Ken Ham provides answers in an intriguing booklet, and for your gift of any size today, we'll send out 10 copies of Ken's booklet, What Really Happened to the Dinosaurs? Go to the web to order these great witnessing booklets, answersoffer.org, answersoffer.org, or call toll-free 1-888-89-ANSWERS.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio.
What I've said is that women should make the decision in consultation with their priest or pastor, their doctor, their family members, and in consultation with their beliefs. And I believe that most women don't make that decision lightly.
I do not support Roe v. Wade. It should be overturned.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Audio Open Lines. Question I've laid on the table. Well, it's really kind of a two-part question. They overlap with one another. If the election were held today, how would you be voting for president? And will the pick that your candidate makes for vice presidential running mate, does it make a difference to you? What if John McCain were to choose, and there are a lot to choose from, by the way, a pro-choice Republican to run with him? What if Barack Obama, now here the pool is a little smaller, but it's still there. What if Barack Obama were to choose a pro-life Democrat to run with him? Would it make a difference for you? 1-877-623-MYIE or talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. I don't know. I do consider myself a one-issue voter. I mean, when it comes to the issue of protecting the unborn, it's the issue that has to trump others. All other things being equal, I'll pay attention to two things that are, for me, very distant seconds, like the economy and taxes and all of the other issues that concern people, wherever they may stand on them. But for me, how a candidate, regardless of what office they would like my vote for, how a candidate stands on the issue of protecting the unborn is, in many cases, the deal breaker for me. What about you? Talk back at issuesetc.org or 1-877-623-MYIE. Here's an email from JP in Denver. He says, as a first-time voter, I think that John McCain needs to choose a more likable, dare I say younger, running mate. However, McCain needs to stay true to his values to keep the loyalty of his current supporters. Obama, however, has the freedom of liberalism, and he definitely has the liberty to elect someone that might not completely agree with him. Well, I think that's true. I mean, as a general, how constrained are both of these candidates in who they might pick? How vulnerable are they with the voters who are supporting them? I think that's a fair assessment. Thank you very much, JP. This email comes from Ben in Edwardsville. He says, the VP choice for either candidate is not important enough to sway my vote to one side or the other. Obama cannot select a pro-life running mate because he would alienate the base, and he's not gaining evangelical votes anyway. He lost the battle when his pastor opened his mouth. The real question is abortion a make-or-break issue for Christian voters, and should it be? Well, that's the question behind the question. Very perceptive, Ben. Thank you very much for listening in Edwardsville. Is abortion the make-it-or-break-it issue for Christian voters, and should it be? 1-877-623-MYIE or talk back at issuesetc.org. On that very subject, here's National Public Radio with a story on presidential candidates and the issue of abortion.
A question about Viagra has played a role in the presidential campaign. The question was directed at Senator John McCain. It drove at issues of fairness between men and women. It also relates to the topic of abortion, a subject that makes a difference in hotly contested states. It's a subject that both major party candidates have approached a little awkwardly. Here's NPR's Julie Robner.
McCain's difficult moment began a couple of weeks ago. Carly Fiorina, one of his top advisors, complained about health insurance plans that cover Viagra for men, but not prescription birth control for women. 2 days later, a reporter on McCain's bus asked him about Fiorina's comments and about his Senate vote against legislation to require insurance coverage for contraception.
I guess her statement was that it was unfair that health insurance companies cover Viagra but not birth control. Do you have an opinion on that?
I don't know enough about it to give you a informed answer because I don't recall the vote. I've cast thousands of votes in the Senate.
McCain looked very, very uncomfortable. And if you haven't seen that footage, chances are you will. Planned Parenthood has already turned it into a television ad. Abortion rights groups are trying to demonstrate that while McCain may be a moderate on many issues, reproductive health is not one of them. Nancy Keenan is president of the group NARAL Pro-Choice America.
On the issue of reproductive choice, he's neither a moderate nor a maverick. He's wrong. And I think we will work very hard to make sure that people in this country understand how extreme he is on this issue.
McCain's abortion position is not something he's tried to keep secret.
How do you feel about overturning Roe versus Wade?
I do not support Roe v. Wade. It should be overturned.
And if he's elected president, McCain has said he'll choose Supreme Court justices like those who've already cast votes to restrict abortion rights.
I will look for people in the cast of John Roberts, Samuel Alito, and my friend, the late William Rehnquist, jurists of the highest caliber.
Even so, McCain is still seen as suspect by many Christian evangelical voters. He supports embryonic stem cell research, for example, which makes him less than 100% pro-life. But he does have the unequivocal support of the biggest anti-abortion group, the National Right to Life Committee. David Osteen is the group's executive director.
He has a strong pro-life record against abortion. He voted to ban partial birth abortion. He opposes using taxpayer funds to pay for abortion. He supports parental notification.
Now, the question I'm putting before you, we'll get back to the audio in just a moment, is, and a caller raised it, kind of cutting through all the rest of the questions, should abortion be a make-it-or-break-it issue for Christian voters, and why? 1-877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. I'm on the record here as being, in more cases than not, a one-issue voter when it comes to protecting the unborn. It simply matters so much more to me as a voter and a citizen than anything else that matters to me. So it is largely a determining factor. All of the things being equal, I'll think about the other things that a candidate wants to do. But it is a big factor. What about you? 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org. I don't think being a one-issue voter is a bad idea if the issue is protecting the unborn.
Democrat Barack Obama's pro-choice position is pretty much the polar opposite of McCain's.
What I've said is that women should make the decision in consultation with their priest or pastor, their doctor, their family members, and in consultation with their beliefs. And I believe that most women don't make that decision lightly.
Obama got in a little trouble of his own on the issue earlier this month. In an interview with the Christian magazine Relevant, Obama seemed to suggest he was open to putting limits on health exceptions for later abortions.
I have repeatedly said that I think it is entirely appropriate for states to restrict or even prohibit late-term abortions as long as there is a strict, well-defined exception for the health of the mother. Now, I don't think that that mental distress qualifies as health of the mother. I think it has to be a serious physical issue that arises in pregnancy in which, you know, there would be real significant problems to the mother carrying that child to term.
That prompted a few complaints from feminists, including some who questioned Obama's pro-choice voting record during his years in the Illinois State Senate. But mainstream groups like NARAL and Planned Parenthood are essentially looking the other way. NARAL's Nancy Keenan called the comment
one of those moments that I think just happens that it's misinterpreted, because he is right on the health exception and he is right on reproductive choice and he is going to be there for us 100%.
And National Right to Life's David Osteen says Obama is being disingenuous in even suggesting he would support stricter health exceptions. That's because he also supports past Supreme Court decisions and current bills in Congress that would allow health exceptions simply for mental distress.
So for him then to turn around to hedge and pull back and indicate that he doesn't support abortion for mental health reasons while he's pledged so strongly to Doe and Roe and co-sponsored the Freedom of Choice Act just doesn't hold water.
What this all means is that neither candidate needs to worry about their base on this issue, but both have potential weaknesses. McCain with more moderate women, and Obama with Hillary Clinton supporters still suspicious of his feminist credentials. Julie Rovner, NPR News, Washington.
Now, I want you to think back for a moment to the last presidential election. George W. Bush was up against John Kerry, and we found John Kerry, whose record was entirely pro-choice, 100% pro-choice almost, saying things like, "I'm pro-life. I believe life begins at conception." John Kerry said these things. Do you remember this? Now, he went on to say that he believed that abortion should still be safe, legal, and rare, and while he believed that life began at conception, he even said that he thought that abortion was wrong. He said he couldn't impose what he called an article of faith. He believed that was an article of faith on anyone else. Now, why would someone running for president who has a record that's 100% pro-choice feel the need, in the case of John Kerry, to hedge his bets and call himself pro-life and say life begins at conception and say that abortion is wrong, but he wouldn't impose that little bit of morality on anyone else? I can tell you why. It's because abortion is a big issue in presidential politics, and it will be in 2008. No doubt about it. It may not be the most talked about issue, but it will be the one that, all things being equal, separate the men from the boys, so to speak. Here's an, we'll get to an email on the other side of this break. We've got a couple emails to get to. When we come back, about 10 minutes left in audio open lines. If the election were held today, how would you vote? Does the vice presidential pick of either of the candidates make a difference to you? And what if John McCain were to choose someone who was pro-choice, or Barack Obama choose someone who is pro-life to run with them for the presidency in 2008? 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. We'll get to your email on the other side of this break.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues Etc.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, look for the sponsor section at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Friend, classmate, roommate, cousin, brother, sister, spouse. Some of these people I will never meet.
This is our time. This is our place. This is our duty to stand up for the more than 45 million members of our generation killed by legalized abortion on demand since 1973. Every day, more than 3,500 members of our generation are killed by legalized abortion on demand. Approximately 40% of all abortions each year are performed on teens and college-age women.
We are the first generation of survivors of Roe v. Wade. We are the ones who escaped death by so-called safe, legal abortion. And we have a responsibility to join in the fight to protect the most defenseless members of the next generation, unborn children.
This has been A Perspective on Life from National Teens for Life. For more information, visit our website, www.nrlc.org.
Welcome back. 10 more minutes left in audio open lines. I'm Todd Wilkin. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. We're coming to you live this Wednesday. It's the 23rd of July. Some email from Scott in Salinas, California. He says, does Scripture speak to various economic policies? Not really. But does it speak to abortion and the family? Makes the decision pretty simple, says Scott. Larry in Naperville, Illinois, has this to say. Two questionable candidates that profess to be Christian? President Bush was held up and endorsed by Christian evangelicals and then betrayed the one true God found in the Trinity by saying whether they be Muslim, Christian, or any other religion, they pray to the same God. It's a very bad idea to endorse. VP is a possibility based upon McCain's age. Sorry. He says, I used to be a one-issue voter like you, but look at Bush. He had no litmus test. Although one might say that the results of President Bush's two terms with regard to the life issue were fairly favorable. The very first piece of federal legislation regulating abortion since Roe during Bush's second term. Not much, but movement in the right direction. Dennis in Michigan writes, I fail to understand why abortion is such a viable issue only during presidential elections. We've had several conservative presidents who claimed opposition to Roe v. Wade, yet the court decision still stands. Perhaps we would be more successful concentrating on the source of Roe v. Wade, that is, very poor application of federal law by the Supreme Court, and overturn this decision by the court of the people, the legislative branch of government. Well, that's interesting, but the problem with the Supreme Court is those who sit there are nominated by presidents. So presidents make a big difference in the direction of the court. Although I will agree with you in this sense, Dennis, that some of our best pro-life presidents have made some pretty bad choices for the high court. Time eventually told that the people they chose were not going to be particularly helpful on the issue of abortion or protecting the unborn. So what if John McCain says the best guy for me to pick is a recently pro-life guy who was kind of a contender against me for a while, Mitt Romney, but he is a Mormon? Would the Mormon issue do anything for or against John McCain in your mind? 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE. Email us here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. I said before the break that if it were any other issue besides the protection of the unborn, I could not, in good conscience, be a one-issue voter. What I don't see is the sense of someone who says, yes, abortion is the most pressing moral issue of our day, but I can have my mind changed if the guy's right on taxes. Or I can have my mind changed if the candidate is right on the war. I just don't see those issues, as important as they may be to us in everyday life, I don't see them being anywhere near the caliber, anywhere near the fundamental nature of the question of abortion in the United States. I'll say it. I don't know. It might sound like something close to heresy, but I'd be willing to accept higher taxes if we could overturn Roe v. Wade. If someone could give us the kind of judges that would undo the disaster, the legal disaster that was Roe v. Wade, after 35 years, I might be willing. I think I would be willing to compromise on issues like foreign policy and the economy. Willing to pay higher taxes if the candidate could actually, if the candidate could actually overturn Roe v. Wade through judicial appointments? Sorry, Jeff, I didn't see these. It doesn't scroll down automatically. Don in Junction City, Kansas says, I fear that America will move to a new low with this election. People want change, but no one knows what kind of change they want. There's so much hate in the media, I fear America will move far to the left. Baby killing will go on even more. Also, the life of the elderly may be in danger. They have taken God out of the picture, and anything can happen. We're moving to new lows. This may be what it takes to wake people up. I agree with you in some sense, Don, but I'm always disturbed by the logic that says we've got to go lower before people wake up. Let's try waking them up now. Will we have a choice again if we have an economic crisis? A power-hungry dictator may come forth and take over. America would never be the same again. I will not vote for a pro-choice leader. Don, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Kansas. Tim in Memphis says, VP picks will not affect my choice for president. Obama will not pick a pro-choice VP. That is unforgivable. I think he means pro-life in the higher powers of the Democratic Party. There may be a few pro-choice Democrats, but they are not allowed in the national spotlight. Just ask Zell Miller. McCain must pick a pro-life conservative. Maybe Bobby Jindal? Maybe. Thanks, Tim. Thanks for listening in Memphis. Jen in Virginia says, I would argue that my primary, in that it fills the most amount of my time, vocation, is being a mother. To that extent, my vocation as a mother, I see my voting responsibility as strongly tied to my vocation as mother of my children. Because of that, while I certainly vote pro-choice, I'm not a one-issue voter. I can't be, especially with this election. If McCain were to pick a pro-choice running mate, which I don't think he can do if he wants to win, because he would lose all the one-issue voters, my choice would be between someone with a weak running mate and a candidate whose stated goals or to take away my children's rights in just about every sector of their life. In my vocation as a mom, I have to do what I can to protect my kids. I have yet to hear anything come out of Barack Obama's mouth that I see as not being a threat to my children. I cannot vote for him. Now, I still think that McCain, writes Jen, can pick a pro-choice running mate and stay true to his convictions as a pro-lifer, so I'm not sure it will be an issue. But then I thought Thompson would go farther. Many did. Jen, thank you very much. Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about voting lately, about why Christians vote. You know, did you realize that Christians vote for a completely different reason than everyone else votes? Did you know that? The reason that Christians vote is not out of self-interest. Again, this may sound like I'm uttering heresy, especially with all those Ayn Rand conservatives out there that if everyone just follows their own self-interest, everyone will do well. I don't think that works for the Christian in the polling place when they're pulling the lever or casting their ballot. We vote for a different reason than everyone else votes. Christians vote not out of their own self-interest. They vote in their neighbor's self-interest. I know that sounds almost un-American, but it certainly is Christian. Ask yourself this question. It sounds kind of silly, but I think it's illustrative. How would Jesus vote? Would Jesus vote for his own self-interest? Would he vote for his own well-being? Or would he vote in a way that protected those who needed to be protected? When you walk into the polling place, as a Christian citizen in this world, you pull the lever for this candidate, that candidate, this issue, that issue, not because of what they can do for you or promise to do for you, but what they promise to do and can do for your neighbor. I know this sounds radical, but I think this is the reason Christians ought to be voting, however they vote. That's why, for me, protecting the unborn is the big reason I'm pulling the lever the way I do. My neighbor is the unborn. If I only voted according to my own interest, I'd have no reason whatsoever to vote pro-life, because the unborn can't do a thing for me. And in my everyday life, I don't know how big a difference it makes that the unborn aren't here in the millions every year, never see the light of day or breathe the air of freedom like the rest of us do. See, if I was only voting for my own self-interest, I couldn't find a good reason to vote in protection of the unborn. But a Christian goes into the polling place voting not for his own interest, but the interest of his neighbor, not to protect himself, but to protect his neighbor. And that's every reason to vote for your neighbor, for his interest, for his protection, for his well-being. The issue of life is the foundation of all human rights. If we can't bring ourselves to vote to protect the life of the least, the lowliest, the most helpless, I don't care if the economy booms, we win every war we ever fight, we're not much of a nation if we can't protect those unable to protect themselves, especially in the polling place. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about scripture and tradition with Dr. Cameron McKenzie. Some people see a great tension between these two things, scripture and tradition, as though the twain never shall meet. This is not the opinion, by the way, of the historic church, who understood scripture to be God's font, the true word, the one from which we draw all we know and believe about our God. And we're able to craft and hand down tradition that was not in conflict with that word. In other words, not all tradition is bad. We'll talk more about it tomorrow with Cameron McKenzie. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.